Northwest London, Tuesday, second day of Rosh Chodesh Iyar, 13th of April, Dina Lemelech van Zeta Shlita, re-asking Shalas.
Good morning, Rabbi Say. Agud Chodesh, Agud Chodesh. Agizinte Chodesh, Agizinte Zimmer, Bezim Shem. May every single one of you together with your Mishpuchas be in good health. And it is very important to mention this. Today, at the start, I have to mention our dear friend Rav Osher Vadil, who was a frequent participant and became, Baruch Hashem, a friend, was always a Simcha Chesim, and also, I want to mention, Benji Steinbach, was also a regular participant and became, Baruch Hashem, a cherished friend. May the memories be for a blessing.
Amen.
What I want to share with you, it's a shir within a shir. It's quite interesting, I think. I want to share with you a shaila that I was asked on the first day of Pesach, going into the second day of Pesach. And that shaila will be the springboard that will take us to hopefully the main topic of today's shiur. Now, there is a havamina, there is a possibility that I may ask Dudi to do this in a two-part series. There may be a possibility I'll come back to continue bimarich on this sugya, because I half an hour, I don't know if it's going to be enough, especially with the premise that we need to lay out before delving into the re-asking a shaila part of the shiur. And the shaila that was asked first day Pesach was, do you have an oven? So, never been asked that shaila. Do you have an oven? And is your oven working? I said, very good, very good. Shaila, why are you asking me this, Shaila? He says, because I have guests coming, I have extra guests, and I need to warm up more food for my guests. My oven is off, and I don't have one, so I don't know what to do. Is your oven? I said, no, my oven is not working, but why don't you ask one of your Goyish neighbors to come and turn the oven on for you on Yom Tov, and that way you can cook and warm up the food, and yeah, and the person, we're talking about Yom Tov over here, and the person says, can I do that? He says, can I do that? He asked me, can I do that? So on the spot I said, I went to the shelf, I took out a Mishnah Berurah, a Shulchan Aruch Mishnah Berurah, and started quoting some halachas, starting going over some halachas with him. And the halachas that I want to share with you today are as follows. We find in Siman Tav Tzadik He, or Achaim, of course, we're talking about Ilchos Yom Tov, that is the first Siman for Ilchos Yom Tov, in Halacha Aleph, Shulchan Aruch says the following, Kol Melocha Asura B'Shabbos, Asura B'Yom Tov. Anything that is Asura on Shabbos, that you can't do on Shabbos, you can't do on Yom Tov. Azoi Paskin Shulchan Aruch. Chutz mi meleches veichel nefesh. However, there is an exception. What is the exception? Melochas that are needed for oichel nefesh, for your Yom Tov needs. Bechutz mi oitzoe ve'avara, and with the exception of transporting something in a public domain where there is no Eruv, so long as you need it, ve'avara, and kindling fire. V'chei machshirei oichel nefesh shelo haya efshar la'asoisem mi'etzmol. And also any preparation that you couldn't do from before. So if we take a look at this halacha in Shulchan Aruch, it seems to be explicitly permitting anything that we need to do for oichel nefesh. And if I stopped here, what would I say? You can do it yourself. You can do it yourself. You go and you turn it on. But then we move on to... No. Kol melacha asura b'shabbos, asura b'yomtov. Chutz mi melechas v'yichel nefesh, v'chutz mi oitzah v'avorek. That is the exception to what is permitted. All melachas that are asur on Shabbos are asur on Yom Tov. What is the exception? Oichel nefesh, oitzah v'avorek. These are the exceptions that are permitted, not prohibited. Okay? So, as I mentioned, if I stop there, ket the Shulchan Aruch, stop there, and the halacha in that simon, we would say, mutar b'shofi. It's not a problem at all. However, we need to move on to simon taf kuf beis. In taf kuf beis, dine oesh b'yom tov, the halachas of fire on Yom Tov, halacha aleph says the following, ein moitzim esh loy min oetzim, veloy min ha'avorim, veloy min ha'afar, veloy min ha'mayim, ve'ein oesim p'chomim, ve'ein oivchim, b'mapuach, ela b'shpoi feris, ונהגו היתר וכולי וכולי ומותר לחסוי זה יש וכלי וכולי וכולי. The Ramo explains the Shulchan Aruch this, that and the other. So what is the Isser over here? What is the Isser? אם מוצאים איש, the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot Nalef explains, מפני שבכל אלו הוא מויליד איש ביום טוב. There is a concept called מויליד איש ביום טוב, which means you can't kindle a new fire from a flame that didn't exist before, and that is the reason why, you know, you leave a candle, but there is a pre-existing fire from which you take fire to kindle a new fire. So you're kindling a fire from a pre-existing flame. Very good. Now, but is it a deraisa? Is it the derabbanan? And what's the nafkamina? Rabbi Yanki, and I was thinking today when I was driving here, Baruch Hashem, we've known each other for 10 years, and it's a tremendous chus for me. That 10 years that Baruch Hashem, I've been zoiche, even was when I was living in Chile, 10 years that I've been zoiche, Baruch Hashem, to come here once or twice a year and share Torah with you. Tremendous chus. Now, Rabbi Yanke mentioned something before in his brilliant shir. He said, what's the nafkamina? What difference does it make? You know, is it a deraisa? Is it the rabbanon? And he's completely right in that sense. It's only a nafkamina. If you have to try and find a way to be matir, in a derabbanan you follow a certain way, in a deraisa it may be more difficult. But the real nafkamina, I heard this from a mashgiach, in the way the mashgiachim, mashgiach ruchni, the way the mashgiachim speak, he told me the following. He says, the real nafkamina, is it a deraisa or a derabbanan? For us, there is no nafkamina whatsoever. The only one who should be concerned with the nafkamina between a deraisa and a derabbanan is Sarosh el Geinom. Because he's the one who has to regulate the intensity of the fire. Is it 2 degrees hotter, 2 degrees colder? That's his business, but has nothing to do with us. We keep all of them besignon echod. Now, but the Mishnah Berurah over here, the Biur Halacha, Eimotzim, then be Mishnah Berurah, ve'ayin be Mishnah Berurah, lenian diavid, the mutter leishlamesh bohem. First of all, the Biur Halacha is saying something quite remarkable over here. The Biur Halacha is saying, but the Eved, if someone went and kindled a fire out of nothing, not from a pre-existing flame, a completely new fire, says the Biur Halacha, but the Eved, it's mutter to use it. V'chem mashma mi'arav ha-magid, v'chem kosov ha-radvaz b'shem ha-rashbo. V'chem iskimu ha-achroinim. Everyone agrees with this psak. The Mishnah Berurah Halacha is bringing, reinforcing the strength of this psak. Deloy katas, and this does not follow the opinion of the Taz. The machmir bazeh. The Taz is machmir. And all them also that we shouldn't be oyser the tavshil, the food that was cooked with this fire. Ulenia nika roisur imu deoraisa derabanon das ataz sheu deoraisa. Umidivrei mashma sheu derabon. So we have a machlokes over here. The Taz says that this is an isur deoraisa. But the majority of poskim say that this isur of avora on Yom Tov is really an isur derabanon. And now it fits in well with what we. The halacha that we mentioned in Sif Aleph in Siman Taf Tzadi Hei, Kol melocha she yasura b'shabbos yasura b'yom tov chutz mi melocha zoichel nefesh oitzoa ve'avora. So there is an isur derabbanan over here. There is an isur derabbanan. Now, if there is an isur derabbanan, and we're talking about fire over here, if there is an isur derabbanan, if we find a heter on Simon Shin Zayin Seif Hey as follows, Dovor Sheino Melocha. It's not a melocha. Ve'inu asur lasuiz b'shabbos ela b'shum shvus, and it's not a melocha deoraisa. It's only a shvus. It's a shvus derabon. It's an isur derabon. Mutar leYisrael lomar leinu yudi lasuiz b'shabbos. It is mutar for a Jew to tell a goy to do it on Shabbos, and we just saw that alocha between Shabbos and Yom Tov remains the same. Ve'u sheyisham mitzas choili, as long as there is someone who is unwell. Or you really need it, for example, when you have more guests coming and you need to warm up the food, and that is your only way of doing it. Or either on Shabbos, this is either, even on Shabbos, if the melach is derabbanan, you can ask a non-Jew to do it for you if one of these three conditions are fulfilled. Either it is because of someone who is unwell, because you really need it, or because of a mitzvah. Keitzad oimer Yisrael leinu yudi b'shabbos la'luis b'ilon le'avi shofar l'skoye kias mitzvah, and the Shulchan Aruch gives examples. And the Ramah, listen to the Ramah. The Ramah says the following: Ulekaman simon taf kuf pei vov pasuk le'atir. There seems to be a stira. In the Beis Yosef, in the Mechaber, but the Ramah says no. But further on, we see over here in Siman Taf Kuf Beivov that the Mechaber is Matir. Deyesh mekinim afilu bimelocha deoraisa. That is what the Ramon ends off with. There are some who are lenient even with the melocha deoraisa. They will allow a Jew to ask a non-Jew to do it. And that is the shita of the Baal Aitur. That's the shita of the Baal Aitur. The Baal Aitur holds that you can tell a non-Jew to do a melocha for you, even if it's a melocha deoraisa, so long as one of these three conditions are met. Is it a choili, tzarich ledavar arbe, you really need it, or it is for a mitzvah. Now, based on this, I think we find corroborating evidence to allow this person not to be soymech on whether or not I had an oven and whether or not it was on Yom Tov, but rather to go and ask one of his non-Jewish neighbors to help him turn on the oven. Now, the oven is electric. It's not. Seldom do we find anyone who still has the old, gas ovens. The majority of the ovens are electric. Electricity itself. What was the melocha happening over there? So there is a. It's quite interesting. If you look at that specific sugya, you're going to see various opinions ranging from it is nothing to a melocha deraisa. He's quoting the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish is the only one who says it's poinah, and therefore the Chazon Ish taines that electricity is really connecting the circuits is really an isur deraisa of poinah. Rav Shlomo Zalman doesn't hold it's poinah. The vast majority of poiskim do not hold it's poinah. It says over here, Uleinian adlakas or chashmal biyom tov. That's the dirsha. Dirsha, I did not know this one I brought from home. Just making a disclaimer because you're going to see me walking out with this sefer. I just want to make the disclaimer. This is not from the Beis Medrash. This one I brought from home. I didn't know if you had this specific edition in the Beis Medrash. Now, Baruch Hashem, I see that you do. Now, uleinian adlakas or chashmal biyom tov. Nidun adavar bein apoiskim. There is a machloik as a poiskim. Poiskim have spoken about it. The cause of Agon Rav Chaim Oizer, he writes, "Shav shebaala aruch hashulchan eikel bazem mikol mokom halacha ilesur." So listen to this. He brings over here, and it's true. You check, see what the aruch hashulchan is saying over that. The aruch hashulchan was makel with electricity on Yom Tov, with turning on electricity on Yom Tov. Ukedas baala baalor samir she osur bazem. Rav Chaim Weizer says you should be stringent, not like the Oruch HaShulchan, who was Meiko, and more in line with the Baal HaMor, who says it's Osir. V'chen koso b'shut Achiezer, and this is also what is mentioned in the Achiezer. And he brings over here Be'arichus, the pilpul and the machloik as a poiskim, is it mutter, is it not mutter, is it mutter, is it not mutter? Now, at the end of this lengthy and very, very powerful explanation, and detailed explanation, I should add, the Dirshu brings the opinion of Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul in the Orletzion, Shemuter Lomar Leonochri, he writes it Beferish, and I gave my psak to this person before I saw this. Shemuter Lomar Leonochri Leadlik Kirach Hashmolis Kedei Levashel. It is mutter to tell a non-Jew, please turn on my electric oven or my electric, what do you call it?
Hob.
On Yom Tov, to cook. Shekeven sheledaz rov epoiskim isur adlakas eish biyom tov einu elamid rabbonon. Since, according to the majority of epoiskim, lighting fire on Yom Tov is an isur de rabbonon, Yesh leakel kedin shvuz de shvuz letzorech mitzvah. Therefore, we should be lenient, following the rationale of shvuz de shvuz, in the situation where a mitzvah is going to be performed. Ve'av sheish asurim shadlakas eish. Even though there are those who are of the opinion that it is deraisa, yes, let's arif eshitas baal ha'itur that I mentioned before. That who is it matter? Even a deraisa. V'chen koso v'shut shevet alevi, and this is also the opinion of Rav Vosner, sheish leakel loy malanochi leafil kira chashmalis. That one can be lenient and tell a non-Jew to turn on a kira chashmalis, a hob, an electric hob, b'migre she'akira chashmalis she'ifil be'erev yom tov niskalkela. For example, if the one that was working from erev yom tov is now broken, mipnei nechshav keshvuz deshvuz letzorech godel, because this is a shvuz deshvuz letzorech godel. Okay, so I gave the questioner this entire explanation, and he looks at me and says, I don't know why I didn't ask you before. I said, I don't know, what do you mean? So, because I asked Rav so and so and he told me it's Osir and I can't do it. So what do you do now?
Is this for ready, just for eating out? Food.
For eating, for warming up, cooking, warming up, cooking. Isn't this kind of enough kamina?
No, if
the goy turns it on, so long as you are the one who put it in the oven or on the hob, on the stove or whatever it is, it's Bishul Yisrael. It's not a problem, Bishul Akram. Because he only turned on, but you are the one who is responsible for the cooking, for putting it on the fire, so on and so forth. You participated. It's a bekanta mice in Yerushalayim that Rav Shalom Shvadron used to go with sticks in his pocket, and he would go to every single one of the bakeries, the Arab bakeries in Yerushalayim, and throw a stick in the fire to make it, to cause the bread to become a fias Yisrael. Because now he's contributed, even if it's a spark, but he has now contributed. It's a bekantemaisa. So that it wouldn't be a problem, Bishul Akum, in that sense. But this questioner now has a big problem. Has a big problem because he spoke to a Rav, and the Rav says he can't do it. Now, I have a tradition, I have a Kabbalah from my Rabbonim, which is as follows. Whenever you are, if you're giving a shir, if you're discussing a halachic standpoint, if you're giving a psak, whatever it is, and someone tells you, I spoke to Rabbi so-and-so, Beshem Umalchus, he gives you the full name of the Rav. He says, I spoke to Rav so-and-so, and he holds different, that's it. Stop it immediately, there and then. Why should I be debating He can't, I mean, he spoke to the Rav so and so, that's it. If you don't tell me the name, so I spoke to Rav and he holds differently. Very good. But as soon as you mention the name, then anything I say, Chas v'Shalom, might be misconstrued as an attack or a disagreement with that specific Rav, rather than a different halachic understanding. So I have this Kabbalah from, it's served me well, it's kept me out of trouble. Not all trouble, but some trouble. Very good. Now, but this person is now in a bit of a binder. Why? Because the Gemara of Avodah Zarah Daf Zayin Amud Aleph says that if someone asked the Shaila, and the person was given a stringent psak, he can't then re-ask the Shaila from a different poisek. And this sugya is known as anishal lechochum. That is what, if you go there and you take a look at the Gemara of the Zerah of Zayin Amud Aleph, you will see anishal lechochum. That's the opening statement of the Gemara. Tosfos there, Dibur Maschil Anishal, asks a rhetorical question. Tosfos says, may one never question a Rav's decision. May one never question a Rav's decision. And then Tosfos gives a suggestion. Let the different authorities debate the issue, and perhaps the second one will prove to the original authority that the original decision was incorrect. Let the Rabbonim thresh it out. Tosfos comes to the conclusion that the Gemara prohibits only asking a second Rav without notifying him that the questioner has already asked the question. However, if the questioner says, I've already asked the question, we're going to see if there is a difference if he mentions the name and doesn't mention the name. But he says, I've already asked the question, but I would like to ask it again. Then, according to the words of Tosfos there, the second Poisek may oppose the decision only if he considers it to be mistaken. Which means that he has to be told what is the question and what was the psak. And then, in the spirit of intellectual and halachic honesty, the second, and not for self-aggrandizement, Chas v'Shalom, because that's never a reason to issue a psak. In the spirit of intellectual and halachic honesty, you hear the question, you hear the answer, and you say, probably the first Rav didn't understand the question. It wasn't explained properly. There may be some details left out, and therefore it came to a second. But that's Tosfos over there. Now, the question is, can he actually overturn the first ruling? And that will depend on the level of error. On the level of error. If it is absolutely obvious to the second Rav that the first Rav made a mistake, which is known as Toye Bedavar Mishnah. Toye Bedavar Mishnah. It's a Bekanta Mishnah, it's a Bekanta Halach, everyone knows it. And this person made a clear mistake, a glaring mistake. Probably he didn't realize how glaring a mistake it is. Then the second Rav may inform the questioner of what is the correct and accepted practice in that specific case. And this is what we find. There's a Mishnah, Maseches Bechoras, Daf Chof Ches Amud Beis. It's based on the Mishnah. Now, in those instances, the first opinion is completely disregarded, because it's completely erroneous. And if you remember the Mishnah, the long Mishnah in the Gemara Maseches Arayos Daf Beis Amud Aleph, you'll remember that it is all about making mistakes and atoning for those mistakes. If you need to bring a korban, what do you need to do? So on and so forth. If the Beis Din itself makes an erroneous ruling, who is responsible to bring a korban? So we see over here that there is no such a thing as rabbinic infallibility. It's possible the person may have misunderstood the question and issued an incorrect psak, taking into consideration the entirety of the sugya. We find another example.
Do you not then have to go back to the first one? Because maybe the second Rav misunderstood the Shaila.
We're going to mention that point. Very, very good. Now, there's another example, all in it's, again, as I mentioned, a Mishnah in Bechoyres daf Chof Ches Amud Beis. And the Mishnah there brings is an example from Rav Tarfon. Rav Tarfon ruled that a cow whose uterus was surgically removed is not kosher and it will die shortly. And the Mishnah there records that it was then demonstrated that the animal could survive the surgery satisfactorily, and Rav Tarfon was moider. He acknowledged that he had made a mistake. Now the greatness of that Mishnah, how can we possibly even have the chutzpah of saying the greatness of the Mishnah? But the great Rabbi Tarfon, the Mishnah is recording, we all know how great Rabbi Tarfon was. For me, Rashi, for example, gevaldik pshatim, but whenever Rashi writes, a couple of places in Gemara Maseches Baba Metzia, a couple of places where Rashi writes, Eini yodea. This I don't know. It is, you know, great men show you what they know. Greater men also show you what they do not know. That's imbued with humility. It's very important. Now, what if it's a provable error? Provable, not a complete error. It is a provable error. If the second Rav feels that he can prove that the first one was mistaken, but the ruling is not an obvious glaring error, then the second authority may not say anything directly to the inquirer, may not say anything directly to the questioner, and instead, the second Rav should then engage in conversation, in a dialogue, in a to and fro, in a maso matan betoira, with the first Rav, and show him his proofs, and say, listen, because of this, and that, and the other, I think that my approach is correct. And if you take a look at Shutim are filled with correspondence between Gedolei Yisrael, to's and fro's. One paskened like this, the other retorted, sent him a letter, and then there was a third letter, and then there was a fourth, until they either came to the same conclusion, or they agreed to disagree on that specific matter for different reasons. Therefore, in this situation, if it is a provable error, but not a glaring mistake, the second Rav can only engage in conversation with the first Rav, but he can't share his psak with the questioner. He informs the first Rav of his approach, and he leaves it to the Rav to decide whether or not he wants to affirm and maintain his original psak, or reassess it in light of new information. And that is what we find in the Ponim Meir Siman Beis. That's the opinion of the Shach in Yeridea Siman Reish Mem Beis Sifkot Nun Ches. That's what we find in the Shach also in Choshe Mishpat Siman Chof Hei Seif Yudalet Sifkot Yudzain. And that is regarding engaging with the first Rav. Now, there may be a disputing interpretation as well. There may be a disputing interpretation, and we have plenty. The Ponim Meiris that I've just mentioned, and we have plenty of places where there may be a disputing interpretation. I will pass in like this, you will pass in like that. We're all basing our psakim on the same reality. But it's a disputing interpretation. If it's a disputing interpretation, there is a big question mark as to whether the first Rav can now say, you know what, the first Rav is right, but he's interpreting things from a different angle. But now he's convinced that the second Rav's approach might be better. It's not clear in Halacha if he can say, you know what, I'll change my mind, and I'll pass him like the second Rav. Why? Because if his Mahalach may be different, but is correct, he should stand by it. Some poskim say he can't change his mind. Some say he shouldn't. The Aruch HaShulchan, for example, says that he may do so if he prefers. Now, as far as how binding these rulings are, with the Ramah Paskins in Yoredea Reishman Beis Seif Lamed Aleph, that it is only binding for that specific time. For that specific time. So, for example, this questioner asked me the question on first day Pesach. Now, if we consider the entirety of Pesach as one single Yom Tov. Kam Shavuos, if he has the same Shaila, he can now come to me, knowing how I paskin on this matter. If he has the same problem, he can re-ask the Shaila on Shavuos, because he's not bound by the psak he was given for Pesach.
Very good.
Now, it's 9:30. You know, I try to be makbid on Gezel's man and not stealing from your time. Maybe I'll ask Dudu to come back, because the second part, which is very, very important. Now, we saw over here, the first, on this part, we were talking about different ma'alchim, and if the person made a mistake, so on and so forth. But a very important nekuda in this year, very important nekuda, which unfortunately we're not going to be able to discuss today, is respect for a Talmid Chochom. Talmidei Chachomim. Which is one of the reasons why you can't re-ask a Shaila. One of the reasons, because doing so is a bizoyon to the first one. Why are you re-asking a Shaila? So Be'ez Hashem, we'll have the opportunity to discuss that halachic aspect as well. And as always, I thank you very, very much. And it's always a pleasure to be with you. I wish you a good Friday.